Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. We are glad that you have joined us. I'm here with Wes Bradenhoff as we go back today and look at the Word of God and take up this great subject of how do we understand God's promises made to Israel? As you know, this is a very hot button topic. There's a lot of discussion on the radio waves regarding the promises made to Israel, how we're to understand them. And you know, Wes, today camps have been made and terminology has been used. And one of the unfortunate terms is the term replacement theology, which really is of the understanding today, and I think maybe a lot that Reformed churches teach, that basically the church has replaced Israel. And when I first heard that, I thought, you know, I have to think about that. That's not what we teach.
No.
What we teach is that is a fulfillment theology.
That's right.
A fulfillment that the promises made to Abraham always had included and had an eye on including the Gentiles and bringing them into that olive tree.
I think also it would probably be better to describe it as continuation theology or a continuationist model, that the church is the continuation of Israel, that we can identify ourselves with the people of Israel in the scriptures, that the church is simply the people of God, the one people of God. And we sometimes speak about the church as being Catholic. And I know that that word sometimes turns some people off because it makes them think about the Roman Catholic Church. But Catholic simply means universal, and it means universal not only in terms of geography and in terms of space, but also in terms of time, that the church has always been there from the very beginning, that the church has been there since the Garden of Eden, and that today the church still is.
That's correct. And you know, the typical sort of framework that people work from today is that, you know, when Christ came, the Jews rejected him, and so he went to plan B for a while, which is to include the Gentiles, but we're still looking for a future restoration of national Israel, a setting up of a kingdom, a thousand-year reign, where Jesus will come in a rebuilt temple, I suppose reinstitute sacrifice and offering, sit on the throne, and at that time, all the nations will come to his feet. Well, I think, you know, this is a big subject in this 10 minutes that we have together. The great question I want to ask today, Wes, and answer is what did the promises, when it said, "And you, Abraham, and your seed, all the Gentiles, all the nations of the earth will be blessed," what has the work of Christ accomplished? What has Acts told us as the gospel now has gone out to the whole world? What are we seeing fulfilled?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you see that in Ephesians, and maybe we could interact with this verse, where he says that we were once aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, talking to Gentiles in the flesh, having no hope and without God in the world. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now here it is. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, mm-hmm. and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And he goes on to say, so as to create in himself one new man from the two. Notice the unity there?
Yeah.
Who are the two? Israel and Gentile, Jew and Gentile. He's made one, yeah, to create one new man from the two. So what happens when we sort of leave those barriers up and say, no, there's a separate salvation plan for Israel and a separate salvation plan for the Gentiles? Doesn't that just defy everything that Ephesians just said?
Oh, exactly. And you know, I've even heard people speak about there being salvation for the Jews by works, that there are, in fact, two different ways of salvation, that the Jews can be saved by their Torah keeping, by keeping the law, but Christians will be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. There have been teachers in Christian circles in North America who've said that very thing. Well, sorry, friends, that totally does not fit with what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ says that he is the only way to the Father in John 14:6. Christ is the only way. He's the only way of salvation for both Jew and Gentile alike.
Yeah, you know, in Galatians chapter 3, we read, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.'" Now listen, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. It's not blood anymore. Mm-hmm. It's faith. And it always was faith, but exactly. Faith in Christ. But the point is, you know, I used to sing as a child, "Father Abraham had many sons."
Yeah.
You know, did that not include us? That means if I'm a son by faith, all the promises made to Abraham, those same promises, and he even says that in Galatians and Ephesians, the same promises were made to us as well as to them.
And I think as believers, we have to get into that mindset that Abraham is our father in the faith, that Abraham, you know, even though we may not be biologically related to Abraham, I know I'm not, and I don't think you are either, but we are spiritual sons of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ, because Abraham trusted in the promises and thereby was justified before God. Same thing, you know, for Old Testament believers, that was the same thing as for us, believing in Christ.
Right. One other verse here to think about, that the Gentiles, this is Galatians 3, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, now listen, of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace. So he's saying, same promises, same body, the Gentiles were intended to be brought into.
Mm-hmm.
That same body, that one body of Christ, as you referenced from the beginning, that church, which is from the beginning of the world to the end.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think another thing that then we have to turn to is to reflect on, is there actually a future for physical Israel, for the Jewish people? Does all of this mean that those who are physically descended from Abraham, that there is no place for them? And I think when we talk about that, the key passage there is Romans chapter 11 and what it says there. Because there Paul deals with that whole subject of whether Israel has been finally rejected by God and so forth. And then in verse 25 of Romans 11, he says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, 'The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins.'" And so all Israel will be saved. Well, those have been controversial words. A lot of people have had some different thoughts about what that means. But as I've studied that text, I've come to realize that I think that means that there is a future for physical Israel, that there God is going to continue. I say continue because he's always been doing this. He's going to continue to bring Jews to himself. He's going to continue to bring Jewish people to faith in Jesus Christ.
And I think that has to, yeah, that's absolutely right. And the qualification there, and I think, you know, Romans, this is a whole unit, 9 through 11, where the Apostle Paul is asking the great and answering the great question, has God's promises failed to national Israel? That's the whole thing. And he goes on to explain, well, not all Israel's of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So only those who are of faith, again, faith in Christ are the true Israel. But the whole thrust of Romans 11, and this is where I think people run so amok today, is that they look so much to the future, they don't understand that the whole thrust of Romans 11 is the now. If you were to go through Romans 11 and circle all the nows there, all that's happening now, and it's saying that even now there's a remnant according to the election of grace. There always was in the days of Elijah. You know, 7,000 were reserved who had not bowed down to the knee of Baal. Even now Jews are coming in, not as a separate salvation plan, but as the same way as all of us come in through faith alone, by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone. And as Wes says, will there be a day maybe where there will be a mass conversion of Israel? I believe that's held out here too. But It's not in any way different than anyone is coming in now. And so we have to be very careful that we're not just running around saying, oh, they're the apple of God's eye as they continue in unbelief. No, we have to confront their unbelief and say, if you die now apart from faith, you will die in your sins.
And I think there are two related issues there, Chris. And one of them is that we don't confuse what's being said here about the Jewish people with the nation state of Israel as it exists today.
That's correct.
That those are two entirely separate things. The nation state of Israel today is not what's being referred to here. And so we ought not to bring the political aspect into it as if, you know, providing political support for the nation state of Israel is somehow furthering God's plans for these
people. Sending money for the temple furniture.
Well, exactly. Yeah, as people have been known to do. And the second related issue is that we have a responsibility towards the Jewish people. That we have an evangelistic responsibility to bring the gospel to these people who have lost sight of what the Old Testament is really about, or who the Old Testament is really about, which is Christ.
Yeah, that's right. And I always say, you know, everyone's so focused on the future. If the preachers today would focus on, what does Paul say in Romans 11? You know, he says here that the great thing that's happening in the mystery here is that when the gospel's preached, that we're provoking them to jealousy. And by doing that, some are going to come in. So the great answer to Israel today is for us Christians to preach Jesus. And what's that going to do? God's going to bless that and draw in more.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would be faithful to our evangelistic calling of preaching Christ in season, out of season, and not worry about charts and maps and future dates and rivers and Revelation, trying to figure out the locusts and all that, then if we would focus on Christ, souls would come in.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to be praying for that as well in our churches. We should be praying for the conversion of the Jewish people.
That's right. And that's our goal in all people, that they these promises made to Abraham that we would see in beautiful fulfillment as we preach this Christ in season and out of season, that all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations would be brought into the kingdom. That is our goal. That's what we do, right, Wes?
Absolutely. And that brings us to the end of today's program. Thank you very much for listening. We'll hope you'll tune in again next time.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace. With our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden, we come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.